With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network on this Wednesday. Across the country, 3 hours every single day, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific. As we're coming to you live from our Quicken Loans studios here in New York City, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. U.S. Open tomorrow, about 90 miles east of us, out in Shinnecock, Long Island. So you know what's interesting, Teak? Let's get back to this, and we'll get more calls. Obviously, the NBA carryover conversation will certainly hit you on that. And get back to it. The discussion about Favre and Rodgers.
Yeah, okay.
All right. I remember, and I had just moved to San Francisco, so this was, I guess it was 2011. And I was at an event, and Eric Davis, my old partner, was emceeing it. And Matt Maiocco was, he's like their Vacchiato out there. Beat man.
Yeah.
I think he was with the Chronicle at that point. I'm not sure if he still is. Great guy, though. And he knows the team and the organization inside out. Anyway, Jen and I are, it's at a beautiful museum. Jen and I are there. It's real formal, you know, suited up and everything. And I remember looking at the stage, and they had all the Lombardi trophies, right? And on the stage was Montana, was Jerry Rice, was Ronnie Lott, was Roger Craig, was Dwight Clark, all right? And E.D. running the show doing the Q&A. And obviously, of course, Coach Walsh, no longer with us, couldn't be there. And I said to Jen, who, as you know, is a big football fan, loves her Cowboys, knows sports, you know, used to work in the industry and all that. I said, Jen, I said, do you realize that about 15 feet in front of us right now is arguably three of the top, conservatively, 12 to 15 players in the history of football? Mm-hmm. Rice is number one.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's one, he's two or three, whatever. You know Montana's right there. Yep. If you want to extend to defense and you have to, you know that Ronnie Lott is on the short list here.
Yeah, no doubt.
So right away, it's funny because I look at all these things that NFL.com has put out. Yesterday was the AFC North. Today's the NFC North. And they have their all-time teams, the top 11 players, and then the best coach in the history of each franchise. And it's like, no, and we'll do this every day as it comes in, and we'll have some fun. We'll get to some things with the Vikings. There's some good comparisons there as well. But we could do this for the next month. Nobody could beat the 49ers.
No.
Nobody.
Right. If you do team-wise. Across
the, yeah,
you're right.
How do you beat the 49ers?
Yeah, you're talking about Charles Haley. You're talking about, I mean, there's so many great players.
You can't beat the 49ers.
No, you're right. I mean, you could probably even get a couple of those offensive linemen from that era who were just amazing. Right? And the coach, I mean, Bill Walsh.
Innovative. West Coast offense.
I mean, he was unreal. I mean, it didn't exist.
I know.
Right? Yeah, but to get back to the Favre conversation, and by the way, we'll get to Minnesota as well because they have – Randy Moss as second to Adrian Peterson, which is, it's debatable, but we'll get back to it. Mm-hmm. Favre, here's the thing with Favre versus Aaron Rodgers. Let's not forget how the game has changed. When Aaron Rodgers was his starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
Talking about Favre, you mean?
When Aaron Rodgers, as Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback, you can't hand check. You can't drill wide receivers. You can't quarterbacks can't even be touched at all. You can't hit them high because you're a danger to their head. You can't hit them low because it's a danger to their knees. You can't do anything against players these days. When Brett Favre was playing in the National, when he first started in the National Football League, I mean, first of all, quarterbacks got abused in the early 90s.
Oh, my God.
Abused.
Yeah, they did.
It's amazing that some of them could survive.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of them were big and strapping, which is amazing when you talk about Joe Montana.
Mm-hmm.
He's a small dude.
Not big at all.
He survived small. A lot of those quarterbacks, like Marino, like Favre.
Boomer
like,
Sisson's like huge. People
Boomer.
Don't Boomer's a big
dude, he looks
guy.
Like a tackle.
He does. You know, he looks like a tight end.
Yes, a tight end now.
Well, now he might look like a tackle. Put on
you
a
know what
pounds.
I mean. Now he does. But when he was playing, he looked like a tight end, you know? Even John Elway, they were big dudes.
Monsters.
Because you had to be. I mean, hell, even in my era, when Kerry Collins was playing in the late 90s, he was 260.
6'5 or 6'3,
Kerry? 6'5. 6'5, 260.
Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny was big huge,
boy.
Right? They got beat up. So what Favre had to deal with, plus, you know, having to throw in the tight windows because they're receivers are getting molested down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's far because of what he had to play. The rules have benefited the current quarterbacks. Now, that being said, Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback I think any of us have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But Favre was the better one.
But you don't penalize him for the mistakes. He made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, but that just comes with volume. He was throwing regularly for 4,000 yards before it became a thing to do.
Back in the early
90s, he's throwing for 4,000 yards, and he's a risk taker, and he'd get you off your seat, and you'd be cussing at him too at the same time. But I mean,
but that's my critique.
Was there anyone as exciting to watch as Brett Favre? I mean,
No. I'm not debating that. Yeah. Outside of Elway when he was young, and I would still say Favre because he took more chances.
Yeah.
My only point of contention with this is that we do tend to romanticize Brett Favre in a way, and I get it because he was cavalier.
Yeah.
Out of the pocket, you know, off his back foot, 50-yard darts across the field. Sometimes his guy gets it, sometimes the other guy gets it. It was part of his dynamic, it was part of his makeup. But I think in romanticizing and what he was, it's easy to overlook. He threw a lot of picks.
Yeah, but not when he was winning MVP.
And Aaron Rodgers does not.
Yeah, he doesn't. But Aaron Rodgers has led the league in touchdowns, one time? Maybe once? Brett Favre led the league in touchdowns four times. He led the league in passing yardage twice. And those years where he was leading the league in touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 16 interceptions to 38, 39, and 35 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Favre, when he was winning those MVPs, he was unreal.
If he had more titles, I'd co-sign this.
That's true.
I mean,
that's the one thing you look at and you say.
He got smoked by your boys at home. Smoked.
Yeah, you're right.
That was
the end of his career.
Well, no, I mean, it wasn't, because then he wound up going to the Jets and the Vikings. It wasn't the end of his career.
And it ended the same way.
And he played great for the Vikings. And he played well for the Jets before he got hurt.
But it ended in the same way.
In flames.
His interception.
Right? Exactly.
In the game. Yeah, I hear you.
So, I don't know. It's funny. I was jotting a couple of things down when Tiki was saying something about and that's part of the equation for sure. The rules aren't transferable from generation to generation.
Yeah, it's hard to compare across generations.
It is hard, but I'm sitting there, I'm saying, let's see. So in baseball, you can't pitch up and in. You can't break up double plays with any vigor. You can't smash into a catcher at home plate.
Right.
In the NFL, you know, you can't crush somebody over the middle. You can't go headhunting. You can't just try to disable a quarterback, which is a good thing, which everybody did back then. In the NBA, you can't defend the rim with any sort of integrity.
You can't hand check.
We're soft.
You're right. I mean,
we have become a soft sporting society.
We're trying to take contact out of sports.
It's crazy.
It sucks, but, I mean, it is what it is. I'm trying to make it more offensive friendly. That's really what it's all about.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. Viewership, eyeballs usually equate to more offense.
Points, yes.
A propensity for offense usually equates to points. This should be interesting. Tyson's in Wisconsin. Mm. Now, I'm curious how old Tyson is. Mm. If he's a young buck, probably going to say Rodgers.
Yep.
If he's an old G or an old head, you might say Favre. Tyson's on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Tyson? How are you today?
Hey, good to talk to you guys.
Hey, man. How old are you, Tyson?
I'm 33, so I'm kind of in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Good age.
Right in the middle.
Good age.
Okay, so in watching both these guys in person, this is my breakdown, guys.
Right.
You know, my answer is I choose Aaron Rodgers as the better player.
Boo.
When we go down the list here, and we look at the rule changes, you're absolutely right about the hits on QBs, all those types of things.
Yep.
However, you can't say Brett Favre is this Iron Man, because in today's NFL, he would be sitting out so many games for concussions based on the protocol. He never would have had that.
That's a really good point.
So, wow.
You can go both ways on that. All right. So that's check one. Check two, when it comes to arm talent, ability, well, let's just call it a wash. Although I think Rodgers gets out of trouble better.
Yeah.
But my third point is that Aaron Rodgers has never, the only time as a starter he's had a top 10 defense, he won a Super Bowl. No one had, Favre never had to shoulder terrible teams the way Rodgers has. And every year it was on Favre, they imploded 8-8 the way Rose here. Aaron Rodgers, they were 4-1 last year. And then, as soon as he left the field, that team went down.
You don't have to sell me.
Yeah.
He didn't even have a running back half the time.
Oh, yeah. He had about a defense. He had a wide receiver playing running back.
I know.
Right.
So, you know, for me, when I look at those, you know, and I've had this debate with a lot of people in Green Bay. I mean, to me, the idea of what Favre did, he built the stadium, he changed the – he did all those things.
Yeah.
You got to give him credit.
Yeah. However, hey, you know, Tyson, let me ask you this, though, yeah. Since you're having this debate. Who wins when you have this debate?
I was going to ask
the majority
thing.
Of your friends. Do they say Favre or they say Rodgers?
There's really no winning this. You've got to just agree to that. We've all been lucky to watch these two quarterbacks back-to-back because the Favre people will not get off of Favre. And the Rodgers people are kind of on the, you know, so it's split, and we're just lucky. And
yeah.
They better get a couple more rings with Rodgers, or it's a huge fail for Green Bay as an organization.
Yeah.
30-some years with these two quarterbacks, only two rings.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Tyson, I got to tell you, Tyson, Green Bay was one of my favorite places to play.
You played there twice?
Just once.
Okay.
Once. I rushed for 160 yards.
Look it up.
Like
make sure he's not embellishing.
It was something big. I had a big – I had like 50-something yard, 60-yard touchdown or something like that. But the reason – they appreciate what they're seeing.
They cheered for you, didn't they?
Well, they just applauded me after the game as I'm walking out the field. Like, good job, Teague. You know, it's like – dude, who does that?
Yeah,
right. I'm used
spit
to
on
Philly.
You.
Exactly.
Throw a bottle at you.
Exactly. But they appreciated what they saw.
Raider Nation. They light you on fire.
Favre was playing in that game. He got hurt,
mm-hmm.
And I want to say it was Doug Peterson actually.
Yeah, Peterson was on. It was his backup for a while.
I think he came in and threw an interception that cost him the game.
Are you serious?
I swear, that's what happened.
That last call. That's a great point, and we can't quantify this, but I would love to know how many of the interceptions that Brett Favre threw was directly correlated to him being fuzzy because of a concussion. Like, I wonder.
That's interesting.
Because, yes, it enabled him to keep going because the protocol, there was none. You just take smelling salts, and if you're a tough guy and they were all tough, you get up and you go play. But how many picks did he throw because his senses were dulled, his instincts were compromised a little bit. He was wobbly.
Yeah.
I'd love to know the answer to that.
That's
I guarantee it's pretty high.
Because he always got up, man.
Always.
He never, ever, ever stayed down.
I guarantee it's a pretty high number.
Yeah. By the way, 23 for 181 and a touchdown.
Woo! Selling yourself short, brother. Come on now. 23 for 181.
182? 181 and 182.
I thought
he said
181.
182.
How many catches? Did he, any receptions? Slip out of the backfield for four or five? What year was this?
4 for 4. 4 for 14.
Four catches for 4 yards.
2006, Samter? Was it 2006?
2006.
2004. Oh, so it was Coughlin's first year.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you guys won the game?
Yeah, we won because Doug Peterson was 7 for 17, 80-some yards and an interception.
Doug Peterson. Wow. Poor Doug Peterson. I mean, he was a tease.
Well, like not poor Doug Peterson. Well, he's the Super Bowl winning coach now.
Well, that's true. I'm going to have to change that
exactly.
stance. But he was a punching bag for Donovan. He basically
You're
was
right.
in there until Donovan McNabb was ready.
That's true.
The offensive line was
that's
short
right.
up. He took his licks in Philly, the 1999, I guess it was.
Yeah.
Jason's checking in from Green Bay. We got a little Green Bay, a little something cooking out there. Jason's on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Jay? How are you?
Not too much. How are you doing?
We're okay, good, Jay. Man. What do you think here?
I'm 34, only a year older than the previous caller who called in about a Green Bay situation. But I have the same opinion. But my one thing that I judge it differently on than him was at the end of the game, when I watched the end of the game, when the game was on the line and Brett Favre was the quarterback, you wondered if he was going to lose the game for us or if he was going to win the game for us. And with Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, at the end of the game, I just hope that he gets the ball because I always feel like
that. Let me ask you, though, Jay.
That's interesting.
Can you back that up with a stat? Because it's one thing to feel – like, I'll give you a good example. There's a lot of people for years misrepresented LeBron James's clutchness.
Yeah.
And the stats actually prove that he's incredibly clutch the last 7-8 years. So when you say – and I get it. I understand why you would have that feeling because he did play with a reckless abandon in a very cavalier way. But can you actually prove that he would lose it as much as he won it? Because I'm not so sure that you can.
I'm not statistically can't say that
yep.
I can prove that. My opinion of that comes from watching
yep. how you feel
at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I do recall several, two for sure, game-ending interceptions, one in the NFC Championship
yep.
game
against the
Giants.
Yep.
And that Brett Favre threw, and I can't recall in my more recent memory game losing play that I've watched Aaron Rodgers throw. But I do remember six less than 1 minute drives of Aaron Rodgers, and I only remember two of Brett Favre's. But like I said,
yeah.
I'm only 34, so
no, we got you.
Yeah,
three
All
years
right.
of Favre, I was pretty young.
Gotcha.
So watching, but pretty young.
Thank
yeah.
you, Jay. Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, listen, Green Bay's hopping right now. Brew is pretty good. They got the new arena coming.
Mm-hmm.
They got a new coach in Bud. They got
You're
the
right.
Greek Freak. Green Bay's Milwaukee. That whole Wisconsin Badgers hopping? Well, they got to get Wisconsin hoops back.
Yeah.
A little down after. Yeah. Matt, what is the poll here? Matt, Mike, what is the poll question today? We'll get a quick break on this. I know it's about Favre and Rodgers.
I'll go with Matt. I just said NFL is ranking Aaron Rodgers the best Packer of all time. Who is the best Packers quarterback? Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, or Bart Starr? And as of right now, we got Favre leading the way at 42%, Rodgers second at 39%, and Bart Starr tailing away at 20%.
Okay, I mean, Bart Starr, we don't want to exclude him, but this is what we do with Bart Starr.
Yeah.
We tip our cap, we pay homage, we show respect.
Yeah.
We didn't see him play.
No.
What do you want us to say?
He probably is the best of all time, but I hear you.
You know what I mean?
The debate is more interesting with Rodgers and Favre. But Magic Man, UVA's finest. Went a whole season without throwing an interception.
He was a stiff.
In the NFL.
He actually wasn't even a stiff for the first year. Yeah. He was like, took Green Bay by storm.
I know.
All right. Hey, Jimmy Jackson is going to join us coming up next from Fox. Get back to the hoops here. We see the hoop calls, so sit tight. We'll get back to it as well. Jimmy Jackson, Ohio State Buckeyes, really good NBA player. What's cooking with free agency? What does he expect? What's he hearing? He's going to shake the tree for us and see what leaves hit the floor and see what's what. Who's going where? We'll get that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, football at the 40s coming up next. Don't want to miss it. Good stuff. A lot of big names on our menu today. Andrew Luck is on there. A little Shady McCoy. We'll give him a little pop.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams, Deshaun Watson, amongst other items there. We'll get to it coming up.
Forking over some cash.
Some.
A lot.
It's a mere pittance, though, as they get ready for the new stadium eventually,
yeah,
right? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So, listen, the NBA right now, and it's been like this really since 2010, it's become a 10-month league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, even... You know, you get into now the draft event, obviously all the free agent speculation, the draft and NBA Summer League. Really, the only month you don't talk about the NBA is really August and a good chunk of September when football swallows it up.
Right.
And then it's boom, it's pretty much 10 months of shopping, 10 months of talking. So let's keep talking, get a sense of what Jimmy Jackson, who's obviously very well piped in, does college as well, Fox Sports NBA analyst, really good player. And I think he would have been a linebacker if he played some football. He's still pretty yoked. Jimmy, Tiki and Tierney, what's going on, man? How are you today?
I'm good, man. What's up, guys? How's everything going? Listen, I'm pumped right now. The NBA is great. I'm pumped for the U.S. Open this weekend, bro.
Oh, yeah. Same here, bro. Who do you like? Who's you going with Tiger? What do you got?
Well, it's helping me with Tiger. Now, I'm hedging towards Dustin Johnson, but the problem is that it's a precedent or has been said that generally – a player that wins before the U.S. Open doesn't necessarily win the U.S. Open, even though you want to get tuned up,
you're
playing your best.
Yeah.
But it hasn't really translated into winning the U.S. Open.
I don't think it's ever happened. I don't think it's ever happened.
So, you know, Dustin has the distance.
Yeah, he does.
Especially with that, you got to be able to shape a lot of shots. I played Shinnecock about a month ago.
Yeah.
That's good as him, of course, but... I mean, I love Dustin the way he plays, the way he bangs it, but it's an interesting field in regards to guys, I think, that can shape their shots on this course in general. Have a good opportunity, especially with the short game, to walk away with the U.S. Open.
Yeah, Jack, you know what it is? I think guys get confident, and they go out there and they underestimate a U.S. Open course because they make it hard on purpose, man.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, it's crazy.
So you think you got it figured out, and next thing you know, you slide one by, and it goes 8-10 feet past where you thought.
Free putt.
Exactly.
What'd you shoot that day, Jimmy?
I shot an 84.
Not bad.
It should have
caught.
That's ridiculous.
You know, but I shot it. It was, I didn't play in the conditions that may hit Shinny this week with some wind. So if you get that ocean wind coming in, especially going back into, you know, like 18 and 9 and going back that direction, it makes the course play a lot differently. So a lot of different factors, man, on who can win, and it kind of negates sometimes some guys that hit it long.
Yeah.
Just because of if the wind comes into play, you know, you got to change up your trajectory and your shots and do different things. But they're professionals. So I can't wait. I'm pumped.
Talk to our buddy, Brando Chamblee. Project that. Jimmy Jackson. Do a little golf here, right? Good job on the golf breakdown, Jimmy.
I mean, we can tell that
84 sounds believable. It sounds like you know the game. All right, let's get to the game we know you know, and that's hoops.
Okay.
So how would you rank, like, what is your anticipation as you plot in your mind what you think LeBron might do, what you may have heard he is already plotting to do? Give us just a sense of what LeBron's thinking, what you anticipate is going to happen. Who's truly in play? What teams really have a shot for LeBron this summer?
You know, I may have an easier chance winning the Mega Millions. I'm telling you. No, because he's so stealth in what he does. I mean, ultimately, to me, it looks like this. And I'm just watching, and Tiki, you can understand this by playing with guys that are at the top of their games. With LeBron, the physical attributes have diminished a little bit. But to be able to play 15 years and be able to play 82 games and all playoff games, and it's incredible. So I don't see his physical attributes kind of diminishing like you see with older players a lot quicker. So the next 2 or 3 years, I think physically he's going to be fine. But to me, I saw the mental fatigue, of having to carry this Cleveland Cavs team through their different iterations of who they were. And it really came to play in the Boston series, really came to play in the championship series with Golden State. So to me, I'm looking at LeBron and I'm like, I think he wants to get to a place, whether that's in Cleveland, they can rehaul, which is tough, their roster because of their, you know, say 3 or 4 contracts that are tough to navigate, to be able to go somewhere where he doesn't have to mentally carry everything. He wants to get back to playing basketball and enjoying it, not having to do everything. So if you look at some teams out there from a basketball perspective, San Antonio makes the most sense in regards to just pure basketball. I mean, because of the organization, Kawhi Leonard, I'm sure they'll get back into good graces, LaMarcus Aldridge, and of course Popovich. But I mean, Philly could be a really good example because he wants to play off the ball a little bit more. Ben Simmons, and LA is always an option in this regard. You have, you know, 2 max slots where you can bring guys in, 2 max players that can complement each other. And again, that roster for LA, if they choose to go that way, LeBron and another top free agent, it won't be the same LA team that we saw last year.
We're talking to Jimmy. Lots of play here. Jimmy Jackson, of course, 14 years in the NBA, 2-time Big Ten Player of the Year, analyst for Fox, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Hey, Jimmy, do you think that the Boston Celtics and Kyrie Irving could part ways, not because Kyrie wants to leave, but because we've seen Danny Ainge not necessarily hang on to – he's not loyal. You know, loyalty doesn't really matter. It's more about what's best for the team. And they got deep. I mean, Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie. You think there's a chance they try to trade Kyrie and get out from the question about paying him this max deal after next year, after 2 years, if they just get rid of the problem?
Well, here's the problem. Here's the issue. Yes, they went deep and they played well, but not having a guy like Kyrie on the road against a Cleveland team, when it's tough, that's what you miss.
Yeah.
Okay?
But don't you – isn't it alleviated now because they just experienced it?
Well, no, not really, because experiencing it and having the right players – look, let me tell you something. Toronto has been in that situation for years where they got 2 top-notch players who still are not your number one guy. I mean, they're number one paid, but they're still, to me – complimentary players to a mega superstar. And that's the same thing you have in Boston from a point guard position, okay? Because Kyrie is a closer. You want to go on the road in game 5, or even if you have home court advantage, okay, you're on the road in game 3 or 4 and you need to close out a game. It showed up in that situation where a guy like Kyrie, now, again, because of the injuries, you have a little pause there, you know, just like Chris Paul, okay, do we really want to pay because we know at some point this player is going to get injured? I mean, that's a risk you have to take. And I always thought about it, too. I said, you know, part of the dilemma, too, they, you know, Boston faces is it's a good thing, guys. They got a chance to see guys kind of play under pressure and grow. So Jaylen Brown, Tatum, they played extremely well. So now what do you do with Gordon Hayward? See, because their upside is – their potential is much higher. We know who Gordon is. Gordon is a great compliment. We know who he is. Do you go with a small lineup and have Gordon play the 4 with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Al Horford and Kyrie starting? Can you move Gordon Hayward because you don't have the connectivity with him because he didn't really play? It's a lot of things, movable parts here from Boston's perspective. They got to look at it and say, okay, this is where we're at today, but we know in a couple years, we got to address the issues of how we're going to keep Jaylen Brown and also Jason Tatum.
Yeah, yeah.
Creates a lot of moving parts.
There's so much. A lot of moving parts. It's unsettled, man. I want to ask you a little bit about the college, a couple of the college names here. I know you do a lot of Big East stuff, so I know you're pretty familiar with Bridges and DiVincenzo and certainly Brunson from Nova. I don't know if you came across DeAndre Ayton in person too often, but just give us a big picture, kind of surface off the top, you know, transcendent players, players that you believe are truly foundation players, maybe one or two that you think are a little overvalued. Give us a quick take on the draft. Who do you like and who are you
leery of? It's an interesting draft because I think Marvin Bagley fits the mold of what you want for the NBA today because he's, you know, 6'9", 6'10", long, athletic, can step out and shoot the ball from deep. He can make plays. He's a threat in the pick and roll, which is, as you guys know, that's the way the game is.
Yeah.
So that gives him a good upside. But, again, it goes back to this, and I think, Tiki, you can understand this. It depends on what system you're in.
True.
Tiki, you can be the best runner all you want.
You're right.
If you're in a system that is not dedicated to putting the ball on the ground and run, you don't have the offensive line, you don't have the passing threat, well, then guess what? They can line up the box and they can take away anything you have. It's the same thing in basketball. If you go to a situation where the team is not conducive to your skill set, then it doesn't work, i.e. DeAndre Ayton. In today's game, he is a throwback kind of center, okay? But he's shown that he can step out a little bit more, not as agile in regards to knocking down shots. So then he's caught in this situation where the league has transition.
Yeah.
He's just physically gifted young man, but how do we use him in a system? Is he more so like a Capella?
Yeah.
In regards to blocking,
that's what I was thinking.
Energy guy like that.
More would you take him first though? Jimmy, would you take him first?
At Phoenix?
Yeah.
That's a tough one because how do I want to play is a question.
Yeah.
Who do I want to be? If I'm trying to be a team that wants to get up and down and get out and shoot a bunch of threes, well, then Marvin Bagley seems to fit that profile a little bit more with Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Okay? Because now those two in the pick-and-roll scenario, how do you guard? With DeAndre Ayton, it's different ways you can trap the pick-and-roll, get the ball out of Devin's hand, because Ayton rolling or spotting up to the three is not a threat.
Mm-hmm. He's got a pro body too, Ayton. You know, Bagley.
He got a pro – that's like Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges is a guy that has a pro body, but – through the course of last year, because he's such an unselfish player, and I had several of their games, Tom Izzo had to kind of beg him to be more aggressive. So if you're in the top five, do you say, okay, top six, is this the kind of guy I want to anchor my boat to in regards to his personality? Can he really be that number one guy? He hasn't shown it. He's shown flashes. So these are the kind of questions. Who do you want to be as a team, and what player best fits that profile? I think is what's most important.
Be a lot of fun, Jimmy. Good hopping on. Appreciate the insight. Enjoy the U.S. Open, man. And when you play him straight,
brother. All right, man. Take care, guys.
Be good, Jim. Later, Jimmy Jackson, 2-time Big Ten Player of the Year. Okay. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Get the update from Mac after that football at the 40s, and you got something on Shady McCoy, Andrew Luck, the Rams, the Sean Watson. You don't want to miss this, but Ack's update, a lot of afternoon baseball coming at you right now. Here is Ack.
This week on the Barbershop Podcast, presented by GEICO, I got a chance to talk to Dr. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who is an MD and a starting right guard for the Kansas City Chiefs. Talk about breaking the mold, the stereotype of dumb athlete. He was amazing. Go to iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify to download the podcast. And great news, there's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to GEICO. All it takes is 15 minutes, and you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Okay, sounds good, Teak. 43 minutes past the hour, CBS Sports Radio. Teak and Tierney with you here on a Wednesday at 855-212-4227. So the United States, we'll get to this coming up at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. We landed the World Cup, 2026 World Cup.
Yes, we did.
So what's it mean? Is that like feigning excitement, or are you actually genuinely, sincerely excited that we actually got
Morocco
this?
Morocco really didn't have a shot.
Morocco.
Morocco didn't have a shot. And by the way, I got a call from Morocco at 7:40 and this
but they want you to send funds. One of your seven cousins is stranded.
It rang two times. and it was this weird long ass number. And I was like, what is this? It said Morocco on the bottom. All right. Not going to answer that. I'm sitting with my the CEO of my company, Thuzio, across the street before the show. He gets this weird phone number. It's the exact same number except for the last two digits, also from Morocco. I'm like, what is Morocco calling everybody?
Maybe they're trying to get, you know, scrounge up some last-second funds here.
It was just an appeal. Odd maybe coincidence they want it back. That they just lost the World
crazy.
Cup. To North America, obviously United States, Canada, and Mexico. But they lost it because there was too many risk in the country, security,
more
et cetera.
More than De Janeiro?
Well, no, we're not. That's South America.
I know. But I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Think about everything
they
had to get past
there. It was just about who they were competing against.
Gotcha. Yeah. So. All right. Well, that's coming in 2026, and we'll have the discussion. 10 years ago, this would have gone nowhere because I don't know that there would have been a whole lot to talk about. I'm not so sure that there's a whole lot to talk about now either, but there's a little more meat on the bone as to whether or not soccer and, you know, these other sports could possibly surpass, you know, certainly hockey. I'm sorry, hockey fans. You know, great Stanley Cup, great story with Vegas, and obviously Ovechkin's still partying, and why wouldn't he? And even Major League Baseball. And then you look at the tenuous, the shaky, the unstable ground that the NFL is still on right now with all the issues, concussions, and, you know, the polarizing disconnect by players and anthem policies and all that stuff. Maybe soccer has a little side door to squeeze in and maybe make their move.
We got to get better players.
All right, so we won't talk about it then. There's our answer. You ready for football at the 40s, Tiki?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
40-yard kick right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
Love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, let's face it. Every time Jim Irsay tweets something or says something, we usually roll our eyes or just kind of laugh and chuckle out loud. Usually he's the mark here. Let's hope he's on the mark for the Colts' sake and certainly for Andrew Luck's sake. He was asked about whether or not he's concerned about Andrew Luck as he tries to amp up his throwing regimen, get ready for camp. Here's Jim Irsay.
I don't, Mike. I see him, progressing along. I think the schedule that he's going to be taking now, certain exercises, I mean, really is probably going to be the way he's going to be doing it for the next years to come.
Barring any kind of setbacks, do you believe he'll have no limitations once training camp starts?
No, I don't see any limitations. Like I said, I mean,
he's saying this. He's the CEO. He's the owner of the Colts. So I don't know. You can't universally dismiss this. I don't know that I would go and bet on the Colts to win 13 games, assuming that he's healthy.
Exact same thing last year, I think.
He did say that. I think this is more interesting because, let's face it, Irsay usually says a lot of things some stick and some don't.
Take it with a grain of salt.
No doubt, as we often do. But I want to play this from Andrew Luck, and he actually uses the term a little mental block here, which caught my attention. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, play this, guys.
Honestly, there was a little mental block to doing it, and I had to do it sort of by myself. I had pain last year, right? Pain and that I wasn't being honest to myself about. And that's a long, and I was trying to get through pain, per se. There's none of that right now.
All right. That's a little confusing as well. So, thankfully, he's not in pain anymore. But I don't know, Teague, when I hear, like, mental block coming from it, I think the yips on the greens, I think a second baseman, whether it's Knobloch or Steve Sachs, throwing it past the first baseman. What does he mean? Throwing the football? Delivering the ball?
Because you're scared of pain. I had this when I tore my PCL. I remember we were talking about it couple of days ago, it wasn't last week, you weren't here. I tore my PCL, and because of the laxity in the joint in my knee, I would get, like, you know, little nicks in my cartilage, and I had this pain in my knee. And so the only way it went away is if I got swelling down. But prior to that, I would sometimes be scared to, like, plant off of my leg because I was – not that it was unstable or anything. I was just afraid of feeling the pain.
Gotcha.
Right?
That makes total sense. So I think we could all relate to that on some level.
Exactly. Yeah, gotcha. Same thing. Like, you're swinging a golf club.
Anybody. Sciatica,
your back
bad back. Old age, bad hips.
Like,
I gotcha.
You start to swing. You're like, I feel okay. But then you get nervous because you're like, man, I know I'm going to feel some pain here. And it jacks you up, right?
Yeah.
So it's a mental block. You have to start trusting that you're okay, and it takes more time than actually healing sometimes. So I think that's what he's referring to.
So that doesn't alarm you?
Yeah, of course it alarms me.
Okay,
right? Because if you're still thinking about pain, that means that there's in some way in your mind you think that it's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does come back, and we know this, it's obviously the shoulder, but also the bicep tendon, this could linger again.
Mm.
And you don't want to hear that if you're a Colts fan.
All right, let's file this away as TBD. Hopefully it skews positively here.
Yeah.
But those are interesting words for Andrew Luck to use. I got you. Greg Hardy gets a UFC contract after a 57-second wipeout.
Yep.
Just a complete ass-kicking in MMA, in his pro MMA debut. Why couldn't he be on the receiving side? I mean, I hate to say, but why couldn't he be on the receiving side?
He's big. He throws a nice punch. Austin Lane. Another former NFL player who we beat up. So it's not like he beat anybody. Interesting. But Greg Hardy gets a contract. It's a provisional contract, or as they put it, developmental contract.
Yep.
So he'll be able to fight in other leagues, maybe Bellator or whatever it may be, just to get some reps and to become, you know, better at what he does. Because I think against more seasoned fighters, he'll get killed. He's all about technique and knowing other disciplines. This is why CM Punk got beat up. Again, when he went for a second fight, he just hasn't learned all the techniques. It's interesting. I don't love the fact that Dana White is kind of like defending him because he's the ultimate bad boy in the NFL.
He's thinking about money.
I'm not with it either.
I hear you, but we understand where that comes from.
I'm glad he's getting his life professionally back in order, but I don't feel sorry for Greg Hardy at all.
Oh, no. I hope Greg Hardy gets – I mean, I don't want to see him you know, get permanently hurt, but I hope somebody mops the octagon with him at some point and puts him in his place there. But Hardy, 3-0, three first-round knockouts as an amateur before his Tuesday pro debut. So if you're into Greg Hardy and him fixing himself or whatever, I guess you're interested in that story. But, yeah, I'm with you on Dana White. I get it. You know, it could equate to some money, intrigue, some eyeballs, some
Dana
clicks.
Dana White gets your facts right. Said he wasn't charged with anything. Yeah, he was. He was actually convicted of 2 counts of domestic violence.
Don't ignore things just because they don't fit the narrative there.
Agreed.
Okay, how about this? Robert Kraft, we got to play this for you. The Patriots shopped Rob Gronkowski before the draft.
I'll just tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash that I vetoed some trade. That was never in the works. It's just completely made up.
All right, so when he says that he vetoed a trade, are we playing the semantics game? That doesn't mean that they weren't trying to deal him.
Yeah.
I mean, which side of the street are we here?
Yeah,
did they have real discussions or what?
Well, I think the obvious answer is that there was certainly people interested in Rob Gronkowski.
Sure.
And I can guarantee you that teams contacted the New England Patriots about Rob Gronkowski. Obviously, they're still trying to work on a deal. We detailed this earlier in the week. He's only making about almost $9 million a year when the top-end guys are making about $5 million more, Jimmy Graham being at the top of the list at $12.8 or something million dollars a year. So they need to give him more money because he's underpaid right now. But I think with the retirement talk and his lack of commitment to the Pats, people started to call, as they should.
Yeah.
But now that
try to take advantage of a seemingly broken situation.
No doubt. I do actually believe that the Patriots had no intention of getting rid of Gronk Gronkowski, but that doesn't mean that trade offers weren't presented to them that Robert Kraft had to veto.
Two words, due diligence. All right, how about this? So we know Shady McCoy and more specifically Josh Allen is off to a really good start out there with the Bills getting some first-team reps, and who knows if he starts week one. I don't know, but Shady, anything but shade for his new teammate. How about this shine? He is really talking him up nicely. Go ahead.
He's pretty good. And I'm not a big fan of rookies. Right? And a lot of guys, as rookies, they're not like him. Quarterback is on that level. He's good. He's going to be really good for a lot of years, and I want to be a part of that when he takes over eventually. I mean, took him early in the draft, so that's just common sense. But he's special. That's for sure.
Dropping the S for it. And by the way, it's nice that seemingly he's gotten over the – remember the tweets that were uncovered on draft night or, you know, the day of, when he was a kid about some lyrics and the N-word, and it looks like that's moved over to football.
I'm sure he had to get up and address his team. And, you know, guys in the locker room are like, all right, just don't do it again.
Nope.
Now we're boys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is what it is. And again, is he special? Who knows? Is he really good? Yeah. But he's still got to learn how to play this game, this NFL game, and – I don't know if I'd be willing to throw him in right away. I certainly wouldn't advise it, but I do think he has a chance, especially if they get the right kind of talent around him and, more importantly, the developers to make him into an NFL quarterback.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Two other quick hits here, Teak. The jury orders the Rams to pay Reggie Bush as if his life isn't blessed enough. Almost $13 million for a 2015 injury.
Yep, remember the old Rams stadium had the concrete around. He fell and slipped toward MCL. Lottery.
Yep, and Deshaun Watson practicing without a knee brace. Good stuff. All right, the soccer conversation. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.